In the Hare Krishna calendar that we have, you may notice that the month of February, and the theme of the month of February is called changing bodies, which is a principle of the Vedic culture. In fact, the entire calendar is dedicated to 12 lessons from the Gita. So if you don't know what the 12 lessons are, you can browse through our calendar. And I'll just browse through it, just to summarize what happens at such occasions. We see our bodies change over the years. From a child's body, we develop an adult's body, and then the body of an old person. Science tells us that every 7 years, each cell in our body dies, and a new one is born. So every 7 years, our body is completely renewed. But despite all these changes, we still feel ourselves inwardly to be the same person. The inner self does not change. When the outer body changes for the last time, we call it death. And at that time of death, the inner self moves to enter a new body. Just as an actor changes clothes to play different parts, the soul changes bodies to live different lives. And in every life, we try to experience pleasure and avoid pain. This is because the soul is trying to regain its eternal blissful nature, but does not know how. So despite our attempts in each life, we experience a frustration, mixture of pleasure and pain. If we can practice patience in the face of both pleasure and pain, and the happiness and distress they bring with them, we will learn to distinguish truth, which is eternal, from illusion. Changes of body are made possible by Krishna, who accompanies us on our journey through the universe as an old friend. He fulfills our desires and knows our past, present, and future. His words in the Gita awaken us as to who we really are. This is a little message just in the month of February, which really summarizes the philosophy and practices of the Gita. On such occasions, of course, we look inwards and think, what is the purpose of this life? What was I meant to be doing here? And specifically for those individuals that have passed away, what can I be doing for them? And specifically today is one such occasion whereby feeding the pilgrims, by having kirtan in the name of the individual that has passed away, the merit of all of this is passed on to that individual that has passed away. And wherever that soul is, wherever that consciousness has gone to, tremendous benefit is received. The Srimad Bhagavat speaks on the principle that each one of us is looking for God. Each one of us is looking for love. As the Beatles song goes, all you need is love. All of us are really looking for love. And we're trying in different ways to give that love and to receive that love. And in that context, often we're getting frustrated. So the Gita says that the greatest satisfaction comes when we give that love and receive that love from God. The Gita describes that there are three aspects to God. Vedanta tattvavidas tattvam yajjnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shabdite. This specifically speaks on the principle that God is realized in three aspects. The first one is called Brahman. Though each one of us know that there's something out there, we may not be able to pinpoint it specifically. So the Gita says that's called Brahman, which means the light emanating from God, or the energy of God. And people often speak of this, don't they? They say, God, yeah, God's everywhere. I don't specifically believe in God, but something is out there. Some power is out there. Some light is out there. Some guiding force is out there. Specifically, the agnostics will speak in these terms. So Krishna says this is called Brahmeti, the energy of God, which is all-pervading. It's everywhere. Another aspect of God that's given is called Paramatmeti. Each one of us often speak about the fact that God's within each one of us. God is within each of us. And Krishna says, yes, that's true. Just as we described that beyond this shell, beyond this body, is the real self, the real consciousness, the real I, me, mine, the soul, the Atma, accompanying that soul is the Supreme Soul, or God, also known as Paramatma. And often individuals will speak about this, that yes, God is within each one of us. And often philosophers describe this aspect of God as the inner voice. Isn't it? Each one of us has the inner voice, which often tells us, that was good, you shouldn't have done that, that was right, that was not right. So the Gita says this is called the Paramatma, a form of God that resides within each one of us. Our conscience, often, you may even call it. And finally, the third aspect of God which is described is called Bhagavan iti shabdyate. God, the supreme person, the personality of Godhead. Someone who does have form, but a spiritual form, not a form like ours, but a supreme spiritual form. And those instructions are given in the Gita. Just like if I'm looking at a train. For instance, the early villagers in India, when the train service was started, would often wait for the train to come in, because they'd never seen a train. So from a distance, they would see the smoke. And often villagers couldn't wait, because they'd been waiting for many days. So many of them went home thinking that God is perhaps just the smoke, perhaps this light in the distance that they could see. So this is called Brahmeti, that people speak about. That one aspect of God, the light, the force, but it's not the complete feature of the train. Some of the villagers waited a little bit more, and they saw in the distance that there was one engine. They saw that there were other bogies being pulled by the engine. It was in the distance. So they realized that this must be the train, but they couldn't stay either. This is called Paramatmeti, that often people say, God's within the heart. A bit more detail. And for those villagers that waited right till the end, Bhagavan iti shabdyate. They waited till the train pulled in. They saw that there was a driver. They saw that there were passengers within the train. There was interaction within the train. Bhagavan iti shabdyate. God, the supreme person. So these are three aspects of God that are given in the Gita for each one of us. And each one is God. It's that one is just a partial fraction of what God may be. And one is the full picture of what God is. So whether we think that there's something out there, we don't know what it is, some light, some force, or God's within each one of us, or we think, yes, God is the supreme person. These are all aspects of God which are given in the Gita. In earlier part of last year, a survey was done to find out which is the happiest country in the world. Because they thought someone must be happy in some country. Maybe it's not us. So the survey found something very interesting. Now you might think, is it us in the UK are the happiest people in the world? Well, the UK came number 62. So you might be thinking, well, maybe it's America. America was 106. You might be thinking, maybe it's India. India was, I think, in the late 20s. So which country was it that was voted the happiest, most content people are in the world? Are you ready? Bangladesh. So now it's not that you're all going to fly off to Bangladesh today. You might be from there already. Why Bangladesh? Because although Bangladesh falls into the most poverty-stricken country in the world, number one, in fact, along side by side with Ethiopia and others, they said the individuals that lived there had very little. Very little. But they were so content with the little that they had. Whereas everywhere else in the world, they had a lot. But no one was content with what they had. So happiness is not a state of how much we have. It's an inner state. The number one item on everyone's list, if I was to ask today, what is it? What is it that, why are we doing what we're doing? Why are we doing what we're doing? Whether it's driving here, going to school, whether it's going to university, wherever we're going, why is it? It's because we're looking to increase our happiness and reduce our distress. Everyone's number one item is happiness. That's what we're looking for. And we're not going to find it in Tesco's or Harrods, either end of the spectrum. There are two ways to become happy. The first way you can become happy is by adjusting your material situation. You adjust your material situation. I don't like this job, get another job. Don't like this car, let's get another car. I don't like this phone, let's get another phone. I don't like this relationship, let's change it for another relationship. We adjust our material situation thinking we'll be happier. The Gita says another way to become happy is by progressing spiritually. If you progress spiritually, you'll get inner happiness. Inner happiness. What are the ways we can adjust our material situations? Six ways. Six ways you can adjust your material situation. The first one is called Aishwarya. Aishwarya means anyone? I know Rakesh was a great fan of Bollywood. He would have known this. He would have known this straight away. Aishwarya, anyone? It's the actress Aishwarya, yes indeed. And it means? Yes. Aishwarya means, and she maybe means wealth. The wealth that we have. We think that if we have more of it, we'll be happier. But the case of Bangladesh shows it's not really the case. If we just had more, we'll be happier. And even if we have a lot more, we don't really become happy. They just celebrated the lottery and the largest winner on the lottery just recently. So they had fundamentals of how, because every Wednesday and every Saturday someone becomes a millionaire. So now they've got a lot of millionaires in this country. So they did a little survey with them to find out what is it that you would want the most. And they found 70% of the answers were, we wish we hadn't won this money. Because it didn't bring us what we really thought it will. I remember once there was a headlines in the newspaper in the early days. Lottery winner goes into hiding. It was a gentleman from the Islamic faith, because there was a controversy. You're not meant to be gambling. What are you doing with the money? So I thought I'd read the rest of the headlines. It said, lottery winner goes into hiding, but he was hiding from his wife and family. Because everybody wanted his money. Aishwarya, we think if we adjust our material scenario, we'll be happier. Not really. Another way we can adjust our material scenario is Shriya. Shriya, anyone? What does it mean? Shriya actually specifically means beauty. Beauty. We think that if we're more beautiful, people will appreciate us more, we'll be the center of the party, people will like us, we'll be happier. In fact, the whole cosmetics industry is based on this, isn't it? They wouldn't be running without this. That everyone thinks if I look better, I'll be happier. But we just look at the idea of, from Walt Disney, who speaks about in Snow White, isn't it? What was that famous mirror? And we all tend to do this every morning. When you wake up tomorrow morning, you'll see this. When you look in the mirror, we're all thinking, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? And you know what? The mirror tells us every morning, it's you. It's you. To keep us going. Because we think by beauty we'll be happier. Wasn't it Brigitte Bardot? The famous actress, you might remember. Tells my age. Brigitte Bardot. When she noticed the first wrinkles that she started developing, she disappeared from the scene altogether. She could not face life thinking that I'm the most beautiful person around, but now I'm getting old. And she disappeared. She went into hiding. Nobody saw her after that. Shriya. Another way we may become happy is virya. Virya means strength. We think if I'm strong, I'll be happier. Adjusting my material scenario. Strongest men in the world. The history has records, but they say the strongest man still to date in the world who's won the most. Anyone know who that might be? Muhammad Ali, yes. Cassius Clay, Muhammad Ali, whatever. So it's interesting because you remember his strap line. Do you remember his strap line? He always used to have this strap line. I am the greatest. It was a strap line. But you know, later on when the Olympics were starting, last Olympics, when he came to light the torch, he was suffering from Parkinson's disease. And he couldn't even light the torch. So in an interview that he gave, he said, all the years I was thinking, I am the greatest. But actually, I was the greatest fool. Because I've realized I'm not the greatest. Someone is greater than me. And that's God. Jnana, another way we can be happy. We think if we're more intelligent, I'll be happier. If I have more information, I'll be happier. But actually, it's not the case. Nowadays, there's so much information, isn't it? Information on your phone, information on your laptop, information on your brain, information on your bag. Information, information, information. But no transformation. We're not changing. Our heart is not changing. That's not really making us happy. Last two, yasha, which means fame. If I'm famous, I'll be happy. If you ask the people who are famous, they'll say, no, no. I can't even walk out onto the street. And finally, vairagya, renunciation. People often think, all of this is not making me happy. Let me give it all up and go and live in the Himalayas. But if you go to the Himalayas, the people will say there, well, actually, no, we're not really that happy. It didn't really bring us that happiness we needed. So what does make us happy is what Krishna says in the Gita. A change internally. Adjusting materially, we've all tried. But none of us have tried adjusting internally. And that internal adjustment will bring you real happiness. And that is the process of yoga. It's the same word, religion. Religion and yoga, same. Religion comes from the Latin religio, to reconnect, to rebind. And yoga means the same thing, to reconnect, to rebind. And that process of reconnecting with God is called bhakti yoga, to unite or connect with God in devotion. And that's very, very easy. To daily chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This is called mantra. Mantra, man means the mind and tra means to free. So mantra is that which frees the mind of anxieties and worries. So why don't we every morning start off with this? When we get up on our way to work, there are no rules and regulations for chanting this mantra. But you'll gain great peace of mind, great happiness, if you just try it, 16 words. And of course, knowledge is required. A few words from the Gita, we have a bookshop next door. You can read many of the books and you'll find tremendous, tremendous wisdom that you can add in your life every day. I want to end in five lessons I want to give all of you from the pencil. And these are words I think that specifically Rakeshji would have loved. Five lessons from the pencil. We all know pencils. We all adored pencils when we were kids. The different shapes, colors, sizes. The maker of the pencils gave the pencil five lessons. And the first lesson he gave the pencil was that your real purpose lies within. Your real purpose lies within. The pencil is made of wooden casing, but the wooden casing is not the purpose of the pencil. What is? The lead. As children, often we get enamored by the outside casing. Green, blue, yellow, we play with them, and we get carried away. So similarly, in this life, we get carried away thinking this body is all in all. The varieties of bodies that we see. But we forget that the real purpose of this body lies within. The Atma, the consciousness, the spirit, the soul. So that's the first lesson the pencil maker gave to the pencil. The second lesson given to the pencil was, in order to fulfill your purpose, you'll have to go through sharpening. Yeah, pencil's good, but you got to sharpen it, right? That means pain. No pain, no gain. So the process of self-realization, the process of advancing spiritually, can be a little painful. Which means there are rules and regulations. Maybe you need to get up a little early to do some meditation. And also, when incidences like this occur, when someone passes away, there's great pain. But it is through this pain that we fulfill the purpose of our life. Realizing who we are, what we're doing here, what's it all about? Similarly, the pencil maker said, in order to realize your purpose, you'll need to be sharpened. But through that pain, you'll fulfill your purpose. The third lesson given by the pencil is that you will leave a mark. Pencils leave marks. That mark can be a good mark. It might not be a good mark. So in our life, we will leave a mark behind. And Rakeshji certainly left a wonderful mark, an example for all of you. But you know, often the marks we leave behind, we may not like. Sometimes there are good marks when we look back at our life. Bad marks, we look back and think we shouldn't have really done that. So let's try and leave a good mark behind. Third lesson from the pencil. Fourth lesson the pencil maker gave. Even if you left a bad mark, it doesn't mean you should worry. Why? Because there's a rubber at the end of a pencil. You can always rub out the things that you didn't like in your life by correcting them. A mistake is only a mistake so long as we don't improve. So that's another principle we can look at in our life. The fourth lesson that the pencil maker gave it. If you don't like the mark that you left behind, you know, there are things that we do in life and we look back at the end of the day or the end of the year or at every birthday, then we think, some things I didn't like. It's called apology. It's called saying sorry. It's called forgiveness. These are simple principles of life, but we forget them. Even God, in His wisdom, forgives everyone. The Indian tradition doesn't believe in eternal damnation. God is very forgiving. Extremely forgiving. So who are we not to forgive others? Who are we not to rectify and improve our lives? And finally, the final lesson the pencil maker gave to the pencil. You're only useful if you're in the hands of someone. Pencil doesn't write by itself. Poetry was written by poets. Paintings weren't done by the pencil, but by artists. Books were not written by the pencil, but by authors. So the pencil is very useful so long as it's in the hands of someone being guided. Similarly, we in our lives, if we are guided by spiritual insight, by spiritual teachers, we also will become extremely useful. We will achieve something magnanimous. So these were very simple lessons about the pencil, but we've related them directly to the Bhagavad Gita. A simple way you can all remember the Bhagavad Gita. Each one of us has higher intelligence. Each one of us. We all have higher intelligence. In fact, there are two types of intelligence that we have. Basic intelligence and higher intelligence. Basic intelligence means, like animals, we eat, they're eating. They're sleeping, we're sleeping. The quality is exactly the same. We have families, they have families. We're defending ourselves, countries are defending themselves. So what's the difference between us and the animals? Basic intelligence we both have to do all of these things. But we have something called higher intelligence. To think beyond what this life is. But unfortunately what we've done right now is that we've locked away our higher intelligence and thrown away the keys. We've thrown away the keys. So there's a word in Sanskrit called Brahman, which means very broad-minded. And another similar word is Kripan, which means miserly person. Miserly person is a millionaire, but he's living on the streets. He's got millions locked away. He's not using them, he's just living on the streets. So this is called Kripana. So we're a little bit like that. We've locked away our higher intelligence. And we're living as misers, that's what Krishna is saying. And not using our higher intelligence to do something wonderful. In Hindi you have a similar word for Kripana, which is Kanjus. Yes, Kanjus. Everyone knows Kanjus. Kanjus is someone who's got a lot, but he's not using it. He's living like a pauper. So Krishna is saying, don't live like a pauper. You have tremendous spiritual wealth. And in India, you even go beyond Kanjus. Anyone know what that is? Makichus. If you go and eat in India on the streets, which not always advisable, the man is frying the pakora. But you know, every now and then he's very careful because the oil has to be kept there. He doesn't want to buy new tail. So often flies are flying in. And so what he does is that when you're not looking, he's getting rid of all the flies. but he wants to make sure that he doesn't get rid of much of the tail. So whilst he's getting rid of the flies, he squeezes them so he saves on the oil. So it's called makke juice. So next time you're eating on a street in Delhi. So Krishna's saying the same thing. We're very miserly. We've locked away our higher intelligence. Use that higher intelligence, and this is what Rakesh would have wanted you to do. This may be your first visit, but please let it not be your last visit. We have our program here every day. We open at 4:30 in the morning. So you're up late or up early, whichever. We have our first service at 4:30. We have 7 services in a day. Next one is at 7 o'clock in the morning, 12:30, 4:20 now at 7. And then if you are late, the final service here is at 9 o'clock and the temple closes at 10. 4:30 till 10 o'clock, 365 days of the year. You can come here and learn so much, get peace of mind, and specifically understand what really this life is about. Because just like Rakesh has passed away, each one of us will have the same consequence. There are two things that are certain in this world: taxes and death. Certainty. Everything else may not be certain. We have a wonderful Goshala as well, please, a cow protection program. One of the number one eco-friendly farms in the UK. A beautiful farm that we have. Very shortly, we'll be producing organic, cruelty-free milk, products of the milk. We have our farm shop, variety of vegetables all through the seasons. And also, we're now leading the sphere of education. We have now opened the first ever state-funded Hindu school in the UK, the Krishna Avanti School. And I know specifically Rakesh was very fond of education, I remember. So he would have been proud of that. In Edgware, in Harrow, the first ever state-funded Hindu school in the UK for 400 children. A tremendous achievement with a beautiful marble temple right in the middle. A school that looks at not only academic excellence, but looks at cultural excellence. It looks at spiritual excellence and specifically ties in emotional excellence as well. Something that we can really be proud of. Everyone can just raise their hands, ending the ceremony for Rakesh Ji. And repeat after me, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Hare Hare. We're praying to the deities Radha Gokulananda, Sitaram, Lakshman, Hanuman, Gornitai, that the program is dedicated to Rakesh Ji, that may he gain that peace and tranquility that he always desired. And we also pray for those that are still here, his wife, his brother, other relatives, may they gain strength that they can continue without being with him, but may they gain inspiration for all the things that he wanted to do and live by those things. Hare Krishna.